Hello and welcome to the Travel Diaries podcast. I'm Holly Rubinstein. I'm a travel journalist and editor. And here each week, I'll be speaking to a very special guest about their adventures around the world and the travel experiences and destinations that have shaped their lives. Today, I'm joined by one of Britain's finest young actors, Dev Patel. He first graced our screens in the seminal teen drama Skins before going on to make his movie debut in Danny Boyle's Slumdog Millionaire, which picked up 8 Oscars, including Best Picture. He's gone on to star in many more critically acclaimed films, including The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel and Lion, for which he won a BAFTA and received Oscar and Golden Globe nominations. Now, Dev's taken the lead role in Armando Iannucci's adaptation of The Personal History of David Copperfield, which is already a critic's favourite. Like in season one, this episode I've called a short haul episode because I didn't have quite as much interview time as I normally do. The way that it tends to work with movie stars is you meet up in a hotel. In this case, it was at the Soho Hotel in London, which is a real celeb haunt. And you're given quite a tight time slot before the next interviewer comes in. If you've seen Notting Hill, it's like when Hugh Grant interviews Julia Roberts for Horse and Hound. You know what I mean? Despite literally just getting off a flight from LA, Dev was as warm and down to earth as he seems on the screen. And having shot movies and travelled all around the world, I really hope you'll enjoy hearing his travel diaries. So let's hear from Dev Patel. Dev Patel, welcome to the Travel Diaries. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Nicely jet lagged, so this is very apt.
Yeah. Where have you come in from?
I just flew in from Los Angeles.
Wow. Actually. Yeah. It's a jet set life.
Kind of. It was actually raining just before I left, so it's kind of settled me in nicely to
come into some sunny London. So we're going to go on a journey through your life's travel diaries. So let's kick off with chapter one, and that is your earliest childhood travel memory.
It was probably India, actually. I went to Gujarat with my parents for a family wedding. I was very young, and I didn't enjoy it one bit. I remember being bitten to death by mosquitoes. I didn't have my Game Boy, and I couldn't speak the language, and it was kind of a horrendous nightmare for me. And I was like, I never want to go back to this place ever again. Cut to 2019, and I've been there countless times.
Yeah.
In a year sometimes.
And was it very colourful, the wedding?
The wedding was very stressful. It was kind of in a village, so it's as earthy as it can get. And I didn't enjoy it. It's such a weird one to start with, but I've been back many times since and had a very different experience, I should say.
So you filmed quite a few films in India.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is your favourite part, would you say?
I think I really truly appreciated it and understood it when I went back the second time, which was to shoot Slumdog.
Mm.
And I kind of was exploring Mumbai with Danny Boyle. And I went down early just because I had such a little experience there. And I wanted to feel the culture and kind of be in the city and have it enter through my pores. And, you know, we walked through the slums, and I remember one of the first moments we went, there was this tiny kind of sweet shop. It was kind of about 4 foot wide, and it was just a wall of all these confectionery, Indian sweets. And the guy waved us in, and you kind of go behind this wall of sweets, and there was this mini makeshift arcade with like Pac-Man and Super Mario, and all these kids were spending, I think, 2 rupees each to play from the slums. And Danny turned to him and he's like, see, just children are the same everywhere.
Yeah.
And one of the kids called me over and I was playing with him, and it was just like a really amazing experience. It kind of really changed my view on India and the culture. And it really is a juxtaposition of old and new, modernity and traditions, and hot and cold, sweet and sour, whatever. It was magic. It really was.
Mm. Such a magical place. Chapter two, then, is the first place that you fell in love with.
The first place that I fell in love with? Well, it was actually Mumbai. That was the place. Sorry to double up on it, but it really was. I felt like I really connected with a part of my culture that I hadn't with before. You know, I spent my time growing up in Northwest London, going to school and trying to be as as British or as grime as I could be. So that meant, you know, kind of washing away any part of my Indian self before I went to school. And then I went to Mumbai and it totally captured me. And, you know, I've been there many times since to do so many other films and stuff. And it's been kind of, it's intoxicating.
Mm. If some of our listeners haven't been to Mumbai, where would you send them to? What would you tell them to do?
Oh, man, that's a long one. I would say go to Chaur Bazaar, which is like called the Thieves Market. And legend says that a lot of the stuff there has been stolen, but you can go and find the most incredible antiques. And I went and bought an old door, which is now the front door of my house.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
How did you get that back?
I know. Yeah, long story. That's another long story. It's a beautiful carved green door. And I've got this big monkey mask of this Hindu god called Hanuman that's also in my house, but you can find the most interesting. I bought a load of gifts for my friends, like these brass tuk-tuks, rickshaws, actually. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of fun. You know, the south part of town, you know, the kind of older Mumbai, walking around there, you know, it is really magical.
Mm. I've never been. I'm desperate to go.
You can take a tiny boat as well from that part, just outside the Taj Hotel. And it's like a 20-minute boat ride to this little island called Alibag, where there's some beautiful homes and, like, it's a nice place to walk around. And you can see Mumbai, and it's kind of this little bubble of tranquility within the chaos, which is quite cool.
Yeah. So you're obviously traveling the world filming a lot of the time. Mm. Chapter 3 is the place where you learn the most about yourself.
I would say Tokyo. I went to Tokyo. It wasn't for work, though. It was just kind of my dream destination. And I had a pocket of like 2.5 weeks. And I was in Australia with my girlfriend. And I was like, let's just go. Let's just do this. We have some time. So we found some last-minute tickets and got on a plane to Tokyo and had no real plan. And it's kind of the best way to travel and just be swept along with the tide of humans there. And it was kind of, I felt like a complete alien. And it was so refreshing because no one knew who I was. Mm-hmm. So I could walk around and be a real tourist. And I was so in awe of the culture that there's a kind of restraint. You know, when you go to India, it's madness and chaos, and there's beauty in that chaos and liveliness. But in Tokyo, it's got a very similar juxtaposition, you know, between the traditions and modernity. You know, you can go to a beautiful old temple, and then right next to it is like, you know, you're watching a robot show or something.
Yeah,
but, that, you know, you're watching legacies, you know, generations of people committing themselves to the minutiae, you know, like that you'd go to one stall and it's just a family that has been making eel 100 different ways for generations, and that's what they're trying to perfect. Or you see the art of flower arranging, and we spent, you know, an afternoon learning about how to make the most poignant but simple flower. Is essentially sometimes just a twig, and the way the twig was cut and how it looked, and appreciating that simplicity. And I don't know, it really
it's so different, isn't it?
Yeah, I felt disconnected from everything I knew, and I was very much in a trance when I was there.
Yeah, intoxicating, as you say.
Yeah, and you can't get a bad meal there. Or, you know, like you could eat anywhere, even in the 7-Elevens. They have, you know, they have these kind of like, you can go in and have the most incredible food, and it's all so clean. And you know, you go down Golden Guy, and there's these alleyways that, you know, they're like, you can touch each wall with your arms spread out, and they've managed to shove in these massive chandeliers, and you can sit down and have some great Japanese whiskey, and the man will be cooking on the teppanyaki and make you some. And it's just, it's a wonderful culture. It's amazing.
So authentic, as you say. Chapter 4 is your all-time favorite destination.
Oh.
So hard, right?
Korea. I used to do taekwondo when I grew up, so I kind of was fascinated by Korea and the culture. And, you know, you learn how to count to 10 and all that stuff. And I love Korean cinema, and I've watched, you know, a lot of Bong Joon-ho's films and, like, Old Boy and all of the stuff that's out there. And it kind of, I think they're incredible filmmakers, and you know, you see glimmers of the culture there and the world, and I just want to go there and eat my way through the city.
When you are filming, do you get to immerse yourself in the local cultures?
Unfortunately, sometimes no. It depends on the project. You know, I just did a film with Michael Winterbottom, which is kind of very guerrilla, and that was amazing because he just kind of drops you in the middle of a busy market, and then you lose him in the camera, and you can't see a single makeup artist or member of crew, and you know, you're kind of doing the scene. You know, he's like, go and buy some stuff from this seller. And I'll turn around and the camera's not even pointing at me. He's off shooting a performing monkey in the market. And then he'll come back to you and you kind of just, you're existing as the character, but in this world. And that was great. It was great because I was really just feeling the city and the vibes of it. But sometimes you're just on a soundstage and back home and you're trying to cram in at least 4 hours of sleep before you're back up and into prosthetic makeup the next day. And so, you know, these pockets of when I get some time, like this 2 weeks that I got to go to Tokyo, are really precious.
Yeah, and with David Copperfield, which I absolutely loved, you are filming really in some of the best of British places. I mean, they're showcased the beautiful Bury St Edmunds and around the country. Were there any that particularly stood out to you?
I got to hang out in Norfolk, and we had the most incredible, like the weather was incredible during that time. Remember we had that heat wave? It was so hot. And we would take the lunch and we'd sit out on the grass, these beautiful, like old listed manor that we were filming at, and just have some cheese and almost like, you know, tempted to like buy a bottle of wine from a local supermarket.
Quintessential British.
Yeah. Picnic. But it was really nice. I'd never been to that. And we're in Norfolk, we're in Hull, we shot kind of all over parts of Britain that I'd never really been to before. It's pretty amazing.
Chapter 5 is your hidden gem, a place that you've discovered that maybe some other people haven't yet.
Oh man, a hidden gem.
It can be small or it can be a whole city.
I think just because I spend a lot of time in Los Angeles, I think it's probably appropriate to talk about that. I spend a lot of time in Koreatown in Los Angeles.
Oh, cool.
So I can tell you where to get the best fried Korean chicken wings or the Korean Kyochon Korean barbecue. There's like 100 spots there that are incredible. So I
where's your go-to? If you had to pick one.
There's a place called Quarters, which is amazing. There's another place which has got a really funny name called Toe Bang. And and it's just all Koreans. You don't feel like you're in Los Angeles when you go there. Some of the staff don't even speak English. And that's got incredible food there. Very spicy. So you'll be suffering afterwards, but it's worth it.
You have to have a strong constitution.
Yeah. But that's really, so that's pretty amazing.
In contrast, then, the next chapter is the place that you'd never go back to, chapter 6.
Never go back to.
Is there a place that you remember for the wrong reasons?
No, not really. It's funny, we started with India and I was like, I would just say don't go for a family wedding to India because they never end. They're exhausting, especially in a tiny village. But yeah, apart from that, I don't know.
No. Chapter 7 is your next big adventure. Where are you heading next?
My next big adventure? I don't know. I'm going to be here for a bit and then I go to India. Sorry, it's so repetitive. I'm going to shoot a film there that I'm directing. So
oh, amazing.
It's going to be
directing
a good five months of my life.
Wow. Yeah. So can you tell me any more about it?
Yeah, it's called Monkey Man and it's taking an old Indian mythology about this god Hanuman and kind of modernizing it. And it's a kind of, it's almost like a graphic novel that we've concocted. You know, I said earlier, I really like Korean cinema.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a messed up Korean revenge film set in India. And it's kind of taking a lot of the films I grew up with here in the UK and like, you know, my influences, which are Tarantino and Danny Boyle and all these kind of cool action films and kind of putting them in a blender with a bit of my other part of my culture, which is there. And, you know, this is the result of that.
And are you going to be filming all around the country?
We're going to go and do a location scout. So cool. I'm actually going to explore every inch of that place, every corner. So we'll see.
And will you be starring in it?
Yes, unfortunately.
Very fortunately for us. How exciting. How do you feel about your first time? Is it your first time directing?
Yeah. I mean, I did a little short film, but that was a lot easier than this. This is, I mean, I've spent so long working on the script and trying to will it into existence. And now that it's actually happening, I'm terrified. But I'm very excited. I'm going to be working with a lot of my friends, and it's amazing that we're going to create this art together. And it's going to be a great experience for us all.
How exciting. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
So when you've been filming in all these different locations all around the world, is there any one that really stands out to you?
I shot a film called Chappie in South Africa, and you hear all these things before you go there. Oh, it's going to be really violent and it's going to be dangerous. And yes, there is that, you know, especially in certain parts, you know. But actually, the people were so incredible when I went to Johannesburg, and we shot in places that you wouldn't kind of go to in a normal package holiday. The famous Vodafone Tower that you go inside, and it's very dangerous, actually. And, you know, people actually throw bricks down the middle, and there's horrible stories of people getting hurt. But wherever I went, people were opening up their homes and offering food. And we were shooting in Soweto, you know, it's a lot of urban poverty there. And
of course,
I just met the kindest, happiest. I saw the widest smiles there. And I had a great time. You know, we were with this wacky rap group called The Antwoord, and kind of hanging out with them as well. And it was wonderful.
Fantastic. Well, we are on to the final chapter of your life's travel diaries, Dev. And that is, what's at the top of your bucket list?
Top of my bucket list to go to, probably New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How come?
I don't know. I just was very overwhelmed by I've just seen pictures of it. It just feels breathtakingly beautiful, the nature and the culture. I'd just love to get lost there for a bit.
Mm. You know. And an amazing place to shoot, I imagine,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Dev.
Thank you.
Those were your travel diaries. It's been great chatting to you. Thank you. Oh, what a lovely man. That was Dev Patel and his travel diaries. Thank you so much for listening today. If you've enjoyed this episode, then please tell your friends about it. Make sure you subscribe. And if you wouldn't mind leaving a review, that really helps other people to discover the podcast. And to find out who's on next week's show, I'm excited for this one. Come and find me on Instagram. I'm at Holly Rubenstein. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week. Today's episode is supported by Airbnb, and what a great partnership. If you're a longtime listener of the Travel Diaries, you probably know that we love to put our home on Airbnb when we're traveling. Like last autumn when we took the family to Puglia, we put our house on Airbnb when otherwise it would just be sitting empty, which meant that we earned some extra money that went towards our flights and maybe some souvenirs too. Hosting on Airbnb for us is also a family affair. My mum is an Airbnb superhost. She regularly has guests stay in her little chalet in her garden. And my dad, who lives in France, has his home on Airbnb so that when he comes back to visit, he is earning some extra money while he's away. My dad is 80 and he only started hosting on Airbnb a couple of years ago. So hopefully that shows you how straightforward the whole experience is. He found it so easy to list his house that I think he's got all his pals signing up now too. And it really is straightforward. You can choose whether you want to rent out your entire home or just some rooms. Alex and I, for example, list our spare bedroom, and that works really well for us. So if you have a trip coming up and you want to earn some extra money while you're away, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.co.uk/host. That's airbnb.co.uk/host. Thank you to Airbnb.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.